Simpson decided to dedicate his life to the Lord's work. And at age 14, he decided to become a minister of the gospel. He would eventually attend Knox College. At the age of 21, he was called to Knox Church in Hamilton, Ontario, a large and prosperous congregation that regularly attracted some of the denomination's finest preachers. In a desire not to waste any time in getting started, A.B. Simpson arranged that in his first week that on the Tuesday he would attend his ordination service in Hamilton. On the Wednesday he'd travel to Toronto, get married, have a quick honeymoon, and be back in Hamilton on Sunday to preach. So action-packed first week. So after eight fruitful years of ministry at Knox Church and through a series of different speaking engagements, he was invited to serve at Chestnut Street Presbyterian Church, the largest Presbyterian church in Louisville, Kentucky. The move to Louisville brought its challenges, as Simpson had health issues, the result of regularly overworking, and at the same time, Louisville was dealing with the aftermath of the U.S. Civil War and new racial tensions. Yet despite these challenges, his ministry in Louisville would determine the course of the rest of his life, as it was during this time that he developed a deeper desire to know the deeper Christian life. He also began organized a citywide revival services and enlisted the help of evangelist Major D. White and Philip D. Bliss, a soloist and song leader. God began a great work, and throughout the campaign, their biggest struggle was to find larger and larger venues for them to work. As the campaign came to a close, the final two meetings had a reported 10,000 people in attendance. So they were really reaching out to this city. Elated with the success of the revival campaign, Simpson decided to continue and carry on with Sunday evening services at a rented public hall library. For several months, A.B. Simpson continued to hold weekly meetings at the church. He'd preach Sunday mornings and then host the Sunday evening meetings as well. It was during this time that he began to notice a divide between his church's desire and his evangelistic desires to reach all the people in the city, including those who are of color and lack in income. This divide between Simpson and Chestnut Street Church continued to grow and came apparent during the planning of the church building. Simpson desired to create a large, simple building that was of a moderate expense, yet the church decided to reject that plan and went for a more elaborate and expensive structure. Simpson was not in favor of this, and this created this further the divide between him and the church. 6 years after leaving Knox Church in Hamilton, A.B. Simpson was no longer content with helping a prestigious church grow in their prestige. Thus, when the opportunity arose, Simpson and his family decided to leave Louisville and accept the call to minister at 13th Street Presbyterian Church in New York City. There's a picture of the church there. In New York, Simpson continued his evangelistic outreach and was excited by the possibilities to reach immigrants from all over the world. During this time, New York had an incredible amount of immigrants, and this excited A.B. Simpson. The church began to grow and added multiple new people into membership each week. While many people were excited about the new growth in the church, the old guard of the church was becoming uneasy with the change. Their once prestigious church was becoming overrun by immigrants and was being threatened by those who were poor. Their prestige was being threatened by those who were poor and shabbily dressed. And a showdown came between Simpson and the church when Simpson asked the permission of the church to bring into church membership 100 new converts from the Italian quarter that he had won to Christ through street preaching. The committee in charge of membership eventually refused to allow these new converts membership, forcing a disappointed Simpson to find a different church to disciple his new converts. While the church had won the battle and made their point clear to Simpson, they lost their pastor as Simpson began to lose hope for an established church that would reach out to the neglected and unreached people around them. Through his evangelistic endeavors, although his evangelistic endeavors were squashed, his passion for the lost continued, and Simpson turned his attention to editing and producing an illustrated mission periodical. It was a project that he had wanted to start for several years, and it played a role in his decision to move to New York. In February 1980, Simpson published the first issue of Gospel in All the Lands. It was an 80-page publication full of articles and illustrations geared to share about the works happening on the mission fields. His desire was to encourage others to join in the work of missions and reach out. This magazine was produced solely on his own in his own time without computers and publishing software. And last night as I was grabbing pictures for this PowerPoint, the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination site in the U.S., they have the first 2 years of issues on their website, so you can actually download and read through them, and it was quite exciting to be able to read through them and look through them. What I noticed is that they were of high quality, and there was a lot of time put into these. And despite all these long hours, Simpson continued his work with the church. His tremendous load and long hours took a toll on his health, yet he continued on. And within a week of publishing his first issue, Simpson began on the second issue. And from February through March, he published 4 issues, so 1 a month. Each issue was on average 64 pages, mostly written by A.B. Simpson. Plus, he selected all the artwork and did all the negotiations with the publisher. The price Simpson's paid for this incredible output had left him broken, and his extreme weariness had left him so ill that he missed producing an issue in June. He was able to complete the July issue, but he began to realize his need for help and transferred the ownership of the management to a Methodist publisher, but continued to be heavily involved. Despite his poor health, Simpson continued to seek excellence in his pulpit ministry. He regularly visited his parishioners of his large congregation. His regular outreach to the neighborhoods around him, and working on the magazine. Yet, not surprisingly, a little more than a year after coming to New York, A.B. Simpson's health completely collapsed, and he became severely ill, forcing him to suspend all pastoral activities for several months. His health was so dire that a prominent New York physician warned Simpson that his heart was in critical condition and perhaps beyond medical help. He was told to start making arrangements because his time was short. He took a leave of absence from the church and began to seek alternative treatments, but nothing seemed to help. In the summer of 1881, the Simpson family vacationed at Old Orchard, Maine, a popular seashore resort and convention grounds. It was here while attending a healing service that Simpson received healing for his heart. I'd love to go in more details about the event and Simpson's account of how he shortly climbed a 3,000-foot mountain and how God was with him during that time, but we'll save that for another time. The point here is that godly, divinely healed his heart and his heart was never an issue after that point, and his health had fully returned to him. A.B. Simpson eventually returned to 13th Street Presbyterian Church. However, his disenchantment with the church and growing theological differences eventually led him to resign from the church. And for the first time in years, Simpson was without a job, without a church, and completely dependent on God. 2 weeks after his resignation, Simpson jumped back into action and started holding meetings. Despite only attracting 7 people to the first meeting, he wasn't discouraged and continued to reach out and hold more meetings. And over time, the numbers began to grow, and they continued to struggle to find new and larger spaces. A little over a year later, Simpson and the group of his followers organized to form a simple New Testament church. And over the months, they continued to grow. And a couple of years later, the membership of the church rose to 217 people and had an average attendance of 700 people on Sunday mornings. The church eventually incorporated and was called the Gospel Tabernacle. That's it there. The church is actually still standing in New York City. Apparently, it is now the largest pizza restaurant in New York City. And I have been told the pizza's excellent there. So if you're in New York City, feel free to check it out. But yeah, it's quite a sight. So despite his previous health concerns from overworking, Simpson was working as hard as ever. The demands of his growing church didn't keep him from starting other ministries such as a healing home, an orphanage, a missionary union, and training school. And while he continued to work on the missionary magazine, The Gospel in All the Lands, and that magazine is still in publication. It's now called Alliance Life. So that magazine has continued throughout the years. Simpson also went on to write many books and several articles. You'd say after his health concerns, he actually started working harder. Eventually, Simpson's various activities would lead him to form in 2 different groups or alliances. These were non-denominational alliances of believers that he brought together. The first group was called the Christian Alliance, and it was a non-denominational group of believers focused on the deeper life of Christ. Their goal or focus was to enter in a deeper relationship with Christ. The second group was called the Missionary Alliance, a non-denominational group focused on sending out missionaries, especially to the areas that were unreached. Their goal was not to send missionaries that already had missionaries. They wanted to send missionaries to places where no one else was. They wanted to be groundbreakers. They wanted to reach those that hadn't heard. And within their first 6 years of operation, the Missionary Alliance had sent out 180 missionaries throughout the world. And over time, the two alliances merged to form the Christian Area Missionary Alliance, as Simpson believed that each pursuit or each group was dependent on each other. His belief was that as believers sought the deeper Christian life, a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Christ, they would be compelled to be involved in missions. And in the same way as people became more involved in missions, they would enter into a deeper relationship with Christ. Simpson firmly believed that the two could not be separated and that the two fed into each other. The Christian Missionary Alliance today has 761 international workers working in over 80 countries today. In Canada, we have 440 local churches and growing. And we're continually looking for new ways to reach out in new areas. The CMA is still committed to reach in those who have never heard about Jesus. This has forced some missionaries that were sending out to find new creative ways to enter countries that refuse to allow Christian missionaries to enter. These new missionaries work in everyday professions, praying and seeking ways to share their faith with those around them. A couple weeks ago, Karen and I had a great opportunity to have breakfast with two of these workers. And as we did, they shared about the incredible ways that God is working in some of these countries. Countries where it's illegal to even mention the name of Jesus. And as they did, they shared how in these dark and oppressive areas that are against Christianity, churches are being formed today. The passion that and drive that A.B. Simpson had to reach the nation for Christ is still alive in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I shared this brief history of A.B. Simpson as I believe that he was incredibly focused and driven by Jesus' last command, given to the 11 disciples, to his followers. It was Jesus' last words, his last instructions. This last command is found in Matthew 28 and is known as the Great Commission. So let us read that together. So Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. If you can read the small print. Oh, no, it's actually not that small. So let us read. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus' command to his followers is simple. It's a command of action. It's a command to go. Stop standing around and go out into the world and tell others about him. Reach out to all nations, baptize them, and teach them about Jesus. A.B. Simpson took this command seriously as he continued to find ways to reach out to those around him and share the gospel. He sought ways to inspire others to become missionaries who would go out and reach all the nations. The A.B. Simpson and the Christian and Missionary Alliance are committed to carrying out the Great Commission, to do all that it can to reach out to those who have not heard the gospel. This leaves you and I here this morning at an interesting juncture of being followers of Christ who have been commissioned to go and belonging to a denomination that is committed to do. As an Alliance church, the Great Commission is serious business. It's who we are. It's in our DNA. It is what we're committed to do. Yet we are more than a denomination of churches. In fact, A.B. Simpson had never intended to start a denomination. It wasn't his intention. But you could say we're also a missionary organization focused on fulfilling the Great Commission to reach all nations, reaching all people groups with the gospel. It's out of this desire that the Great Commission, to fulfill the Great Commission, that Westgate Alliance was started. Out of a group who had a desire for the loss, that led to a shared burden to start a new outreach on the west side of Saskatoon. Westgate Alliance was started to fulfill the Great Commission on the west side of Saskatoon, to go out into the neighborhoods of the West Side and beyond to make disciples of all nationalities, baptizing believers in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching others about Jesus. And this is what I find it so exciting to be working here at Westgate, because we're doing it. As a church, we're reaching the west side of Saskatoon. Over the years, I've been part of several other churches, and like most churches, they sit empty during the week, except for maybe a few hours here and there for a kids club or a youth meeting, but largely empty. Yet here at Westgate, our building is busy. And that busyness becomes apparent when we try and schedule an event, because it's always, no, we're just too busy. But that's an exciting problem to have, because when our halls, when our church is busy, most churches are empty. And our halls are filled with the sounds of children learning about Jesus in our academy and daycare. Yeah, we run a school, we run a daycare, but in many ways we're running a children's or Sunday school program, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. And it's exciting. My door, or my back wall of my office, backs onto the academy, and every morning I hear those kids singing worship songs to start their morning. Every month, the academy and the daycare get together for a joint chapel time during the week that's led by Kiana, our children's ministry director. And each week, the daycare, they hold chapel. And throughout the week, our daycare workers, they'll just play worship songs on the TVs for background music. These kids, while they're in daycare or in a school, they're hearing about Jesus, and it's exciting to be around. And on top of that, we have people from our community, these parents, many with no church connection, are walking through our front doors each day, building connections and relationships with our staff. And on top of that, we have people in our housing ministry next door that are from countries that refuse to allow missionaries to enter. Yet here they are, connected to a Christian church, sending their children to programs like Club DJ and VBS to learn about Jesus. We're reaching the West Side. We're reaching the nations. I'm mindful of this every time I go over to the housing. As a pastor, I bump into people all the time that would never have a connection to a church. And yet, here I have conversations with them in the hallways, in the elevators next door. It's incredible, the ministry that is happening next door. The Great Commission is important. It may be one of the most important tasks that Jesus gave his followers, to you and I. We've been commissioned to go, but my question to you this morning is, what is your commitment to do? How important is the Great Commission to you? What is your role in fulfilling the Great Commission? I want to leave you with an idea as I wrap up here. And it's not a new idea. It's not my idea. But the Christian and Missionary Alliance, Westgate Alliance, are missionary send-in organizations. At this moment, we have missionaries that we have sent out all throughout the world. We have several in Mexico City. We have a team right now in Mexico visiting them. We have groups that regularly go to Arviat, and I had the opportunity to meet with Jackie and, I had spent lots of time with them a couple weeks ago. They totally appreciate our support. And those trips that we go up and help them out is a huge blessing to them. When we have to take the time and visit our international workers, it is a true blessing to them. But my question is, what if each one of us here became missionaries? No, we don't have to move to faraway lands. Instead, we can become missionaries like our international workers today in creative access countries and become focused on reaching the people of Saskatoon. We can go on working our everyday jobs, living Christ-like lives before our co-workers, before our neighbors, and praying for opportunities to share for Christ. What would the west side of Saskatoon be like with 200 plus full-time missionaries seeking to make a difference in their city? Making a difference here on the west side? We have been commissioned by Jesus to go. We're part of a denomination that is committed to do. Now the question is, what is your commitment to do?